Matthew 7:24-29. Build your house on the rock. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. We're just going to be looking at a really well-known parable this morning, parable of the two builders. A lot of Sunday school songs have been written about this. Basic gospel message, but incredibly important. So I'll pray, and then we'll jump into this much-loved parable. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is a solid foundation. Thank you that we can build our lives and should build our lives on it. So, Lord, please help us to focus now. We ask that you'll teach us and convict us and grow us and guide us as we look at this parable together. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You might remember about 4 years back, the Titanic made headlines again, because 2012 marked the 100-year anniversary of one of the biggest tragedies of that century, the sinking of the Titanic. Titanic was an amazing ship, not just any ship. It cost apparently $7.5 million to build, which doesn't sound that much today, but apparently it's about $400 million today. So an expensive boat. Took 2 years to build, which doesn't sound too bad until you realize there were 3,000 men working on that. When it was done, it was 269 meters long, it was 28 meters wide, 53 meters high, and it weighed in at 46,000 tons. This was a big, big ship. When we were over in WA, one afternoon after assembly, we went down to the museum there, the Maritime Museum. They've actually got part of the wreck of the Batavia, which sunk some 350 years ago. And they've actually lifted the timbers off the floor and of the ocean, and they put it together. And there's this massive timber boat, and it looks huge. And then you look at the diagram, and you see this little box around the picture, and they said this is the part of the boat that we managed to salvage. The whole thing was much, much, much bigger. And we're standing there looking at this thing thinking, wow. But it would have been dwarfed by the Titanic. Many were calling the Titanic, when it was finished, the ship of dreams. Others were claiming that it was unsinkable. Someone was so audacious as to say even God couldn't sink this ship. And so the Titanic, it didn't just generate a whole lot of excitement, it also generated a whole lot of pride. People stood back and they said, look at what we've achieved, look at what we've built. And chances are, if we went back 104 years and we went to Southampton and stood there and looked at it, we too would have been amazed. We too would have said, wow, look at what we can build when we put our minds to it. We don't need to go back in time or across the world, though, do we, to have those thoughts? There are plenty of amazing things here in Oz. You've got the Harbour Bridge in Sydney, amazing. You've got the Sky Deck in Melbourne. You've got Q1 on the Gold Coast. There are a lot of things here in Oz that make us just go, wow. When we put our minds to something, we can build some pretty impressive things. If we work hard enough and smart enough, we can achieve, we can succeed, we can make something that's going to leave our mark. Have you ever thought about the sense, though, in which we do the same thing with our own lives? There's a sense in which we often think, if I work hard enough and smart enough, I can build my life into something pretty fantastic. If I choose the right job, the right partner, the right financial planner, the right area to live in, if I'm smart enough, if I work hard enough, I can actually build my life into something pretty amazing. And I'm going to be happy, I'm going to be content, and others will look at my life and say, wow, they actually made something of themselves. Now, I think there's a sense in which most of us, maybe all of us, can relate to the building of the Titanic. I want to build my life into something impressive, something significant, something hopefully unsinkable, so that I can travel through life feeling happy and content and secure. And in lots of ways, that's just human nature, isn't it? We can go back further than 104 years. We can go back 2,000 years, and we see that Jesus himself had something to say about this issue. Because it doesn't matter if you're an Aussie today or if you're an Israelite back then, we're all building a life, aren't we? And brick by brick, experience by experience, decision by decision, the structure of our life, it's going up. We're all building something. We're all building a life. And generally speaking, we want to make that life as good as it can possibly be. And Jesus, he's been preaching a long sermon up on the mountain. He's actually wrapping up that sermon in these verses. He brings all the people sitting there that day to a place where they've got to make a choice. And he says, are you going to be wise builders, or are you going to be foolish builders? What are you going to do with all this information I've just given you in this sermon? And Jesus asks this question by way of a parable. Parable of the two builders. You've got a wise builder, you've got a foolish builder. Notice here there's no apprentice, there's no plumber, there's no electrician. There's not a whole host of different people in this story. There is two builders. There's a wise one and there's a foolish one. And Jesus' point in there being two is that everyone is one or the other. You're either a wise builder or a foolish builder. A wise life builder or a foolish life builder. He's telling us there's two options. And the issue here in this parable is not how amazing your life ends up becoming, how impressive, how big that structure is. The issue of this parable is, have you got the right foundation? What's underpinning the life that you have built? So he tells this parable. Have a look at verse 24. He says, everyone then who hears these words of mine. Again, remember, he's just finished his long sermon on the mountain. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So notice here, it's all about foundations. It's about what you're building your life on. And the foundation of any building, it's the bit that goes down first. It's the thing the building is anchored to. Today it's normally concrete, reinforced with steel. But back in Jesus' day, it was a good chunk of rock. You built something on the rock and anchored it to it if you wanted that thing to last. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. And he's saying the foundation of your life, it needs not to be a rock, it needs to be, it says in verse 24, the sayings of Jesus, and doing those sayings. We might say it's hearing the truth and obeying the truth. That's the foundation. So the two parts there, both are vital. You've got to hear the truth and then you've got to obey the truth. And if you're sitting here this morning and you've been listening, you're actually starting to take the first step here. Hopefully you're hearing the truth this morning. That's a really, really important starting point. If you haven't read the Bible before, grab a Bible, start reading. You will hear the truth. You will read the truth. If you've been reading your Bible all your life, keep reading your Bible. That's how you keep on hearing the truth. Mix with Christians. Go to Bible study groups. Read Christian books. Keep on putting the truth, hearing the truth. Put that into your mind. It's imperative for getting that foundation right. But Jesus' point isn't just you need to hear the word. Here he says, yes, you need to hear it, and then you need to do it. If you want that foundation, hearing, good start, but unless you're doing, your foundation's not going to be solid at all. He says, whoever hears these words of mine and does them. Note both men in this parable hear the words of God, hear Jesus' words. So they're both getting that part, but only one of them does it. James tells us this. It's well-known words. He says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. And then he says, deceiving yourselves. And we need to listen to him there because it's easy to be deceived, isn't it? But particularly in a Christian gathering, because a lot of us have heard God's word a lot of times. And we hear it and we hear it and we hear it. And it's easy to think, I know a fair bit of the Bible. I know my doctrine. I know how the Bible fits together. I know about Jesus. I know about salvation. And that's great. All that's great. But unless you're doing something with that, James says you're actually deceived. You might be feeling good about yourself because your head is full of biblical stuff. It's good, but it's not enough. And if you think it's enough, you are deceived. It's got to turn into action. It's got to turn into transformation. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Hear the word and then do something with the word. And then the foundation of your life is being laid correctly. So think about it personally for a minute. Which of these two aspects of getting the foundation right do you reckon is harder for you? Where do you think you are at the moment? Is the issue for you personally that you don't yet know enough about Jesus? Is the issue that right now you don't really know how to become a Christian? Is the issue that you don't know enough to actually obey God and live a life that's pleasing for Him? Or is it the obeying that's the bigger problem for you? I suspect for the majority of us, it's the implementing that's the problem, not the knowing. It's the doing, not the hearing. They're two very different things, aren't they? Hearing the word and then doing the word. I think it's helpful for us to sometimes pause and kind of separate these two, just to, as a thought experiment, because sometimes we say, and I'm guilty of this, sometimes we say, I just don't know what to do in this situation. In reality, though, I know exactly what I've got to do. It's just that I don't really want to do it. I know it, but I don't want to do it. For example, your boss might ask you to lie for him to cover up a mistake. You think, I just don't know what to do. Yeah, you do. You obey the ninth commandment and you tell him, sorry, I can't lie. God says I shouldn't lie. Knowing God's will there is not the problem. It's doing God's will, isn't it? Or you keep slipping up and looking at something dodgy on the telly or on the internet. And you think, I just don't know what to do. Yeah, you do. You know what to do. Obey Matthew 5. Take drastic action. Cut off your hand, whatever that might look like. Pluck out your eye, whatever that might look like. Knowing what to do is not the problem. Doing that thing is the problem. What about your spouse isn't feeling loved or appreciated? You think, I just don't know what to do. Yeah, you do. Obey Ephesians 5 and work harder at verbalizing and showing that love, even to the point of sacrifice. Knowing God's will isn't the problem. It's often doing it. And we think, I just need to get another book on marriage and I need more information. The three you've got over here are probably fine. Are you doing what's in them? So often we think we need more information when the issue really is that we're just not obeying that which we've already got. It's easy to use that as a cop-out, isn't it? I just don't know what to do. And again, I'm speaking from experience here. Sometimes I think, I just need a bit more instruction, a bit more guidance, a bit more advice, a bit more time for reflection. When really, I just need a bit more obedience, a bit more action. Now that said, of course there are times where we don't know what the right thing to do is. Of course, we need to hear from God, don't we? Sometimes we need to read our Bibles more, dig into Christian books more, discuss things with Christians more. But then once we know what we've got to do, Jesus says, get in there and do it. Hear my word and then do that. And then you're getting the foundation right. Why do we need that though? Why do we need the right foundation under our lives? Well, we find out in verse 25, it says, and the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. So the picture here is of this storm just hammering this house, this building. It just cops a beating, that the wind's blowing a gale, the rain's pouring down, and it's just standing there strong. It's solid. It's not moving in this storm. Again, when we're over in Perth, we spent a bit of time at Fremantle one day. And you've got all these buildings there. It's very cool. All these buildings that are really, really old. A bit like if you go to the Rocks in Sydney, you've got all these colonial kind of rock buildings there. It's really fascinating. And you look at them and think, gee, these have just stood the test of time. On the Saturday when we were there, there was this fierce storm. It was blowing a gale. It was bucketing down, kind of just like here in verse 25. But these buildings have stood there for a couple of hundred years. They're standing the test of time. And the picture here that Jesus is giving us is of this building on the rock, and it's being battered, but it's not going anywhere. It's just staying strong in that storm. And the meaning of this parable is that we're all going to cop storms in our lives. The rains will come, the winds will get up. There'll be flash flooding in our lives. Some of us are going to lose our jobs. Some of us are going to be diagnosed with cancer. Some of us are going to have marriage problems. Some of us are going to struggle financially. Some of us are going to have kids that cause us heartache. Some of us are going to have to deal with tragedy in our lives. And all of us are going to have to one day face death unless Jesus returns. The world we live in is a world in which storms do come and in which our lives do take a beating. And I should point out on the side here that both the builders in this parable cop a storm. Jesus doesn't say if you build your life on the rock, the sun's going to be out all the time, the breeze will be pleasant, there'll be birds singing, it'll be great. But if you build on the sand, then you're going to cop a beating and the storm's going to come and attack you. He doesn't say that. Despite what some people think, Christians don't get a get out of jail free card from all trouble. Both builders, the wise one and the foolish one, they both copped a storm. The difference though is that the wise man's house was on the rock and it stood there. It didn't wash away. And Jesus tells us the reason. He says it is founded on the rock. It's anchored to something solid. And exactly the truth for the Christian who's building their life on the Lord. Storms will come, storms will go, but if we're hanging on to God and His Word, loving Him, living for Him, we will stand. Certainly in the ultimate sense, even if we die, death only is a stepping stone to heaven. Heaven's guaranteed. But you know, even in the storms of this life, we're going to stand strong in a way that others without that foundation can't. We'll know that in the darkest hour, God is still good. We'll know in the darkest hour that God still loves us. We'll know that He's using this storm to actually shape us and make us more like His Son. We'll know that it's not all about our little kingdom here and now, but it's more importantly to God's kingdom that's eternal, that we belong to no matter what. If we're anchored to that foundation, we can cop wind and rain and hail and everything. And we're going to stand strong because we've got a foundation. We're anchored to the Lord. I know a number of Christians who right now, they're in the middle of terrible storms, but they're standing strong in the Lord. I've just heard about Susie this morning. So have you. She's been such an encouragement to so many of us because her faith hasn't wavered. She's been going through a storm for a long time, but she's anchored to that rock. And she's got this perspective, this hope, this joy. She's an encouragement to others through it all because she's anchored to the Lord. And there are others here too. I know that many people in our church are going through tough times. And it's a blessing for me as a pastor when I get to go and meet with Christians who are hurting. And I come away from those visits going, I think you ministered to me more than I did to you, because you've got such a perspective on this situation. They're anchored to the rock. You know, even in death, a house anchored to the rock, it's not going to collapse. That's just a stepping stone into an eternity with God. So Jesus says, the person who builds their life on him and on his word, hearing that word, obeying that word, living, loving that word, storms will come, storms will go, but they will stand strong. Will things still hurt? Yeah. Will things still be stressful? Absolutely. Will things be tough? Yeah, they will. But if your life is resting on Jesus, you're never going to be washed away, destroyed by the storms of life. Even death itself becomes a victory. So that's the wise man, house on the rock. Jesus contrasts all that with the foolish builder. Have a look with me at verse 26. He says, "And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." So the wise builder, he gets the foundation right and launches from there. The foolish builder says, I just want to put something up. I want to whack up a structure that's impressive, and I want to start right now. I'm not going to think about the foundation. I'm just going up, and it's going to be good. It's going to be big. It's going to be impressive, and I'm going to start right now. Doesn't give a second thought to the foundation. And we should notice here that he may have had a house identical to the wise man. He may have a house better than that of the wise man next door. Maybe he had a head start on the wise man. The wise man, he's working on the footing. This guy here, he's just going up quickly. He may have had a really impressive mansion standing next door to the wise man. But it's a mansion without a solid foundation. Solid foundation. Looks great on the outside. Structurally, it's very, very weak. What happens? Next verse says, the rain fell. So here comes the storm again. The floods came. The winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So one house standing strong, other house lying in a ruined heap. And there's a few things we could talk about here, but let me pick up on a couple. One of the big issues here on part of the foolish man is a lack of foresight. Both men built houses, both built in a floodplain. Only one man had the foresight to actually make a foundation accordingly. He put his house on a rock knowing that one day the wind and the rain would come. Foolish man though, no foresight. He looked up, the sun was shining, birds were singing. It's a beautiful day. I'm going to build my house here. I don't need a strong foundation because the sun is shining. I'll whack the walls up, the roof on, she'll be right. Huge lack of foresight. And perhaps you're this guy right now. Perhaps you think, well, my life's pretty good. The sun is shining. There's no storms in my life. I don't need to spend time chasing after God. I don't need to spend time obeying God. My life is really, really good. I don't need God at the moment. I've got a good job, a good income. I don't need God because I got a nice house in a nice neighborhood. I don't need God because I'm healthy and attractive and popular, got lots of friends. I don't need God because I've got a loving marriage. Right now, my life is full of sunshine. My life's great. I don't need God. Now, that's incredibly short-sighted. And that's what Jesus is showing us here. He's saying, one day, a storm is going to come, and one day, it's all going to come crashing down around you unless you're anchored to a good foundation. Maybe it'll be a storm of bad health. It's going to knock you for a six. Maybe it's a storm of damaged relationships. Maybe it's a storm of financial hardship. Maybe it'll be a storm of World War III that affects all of us. Maybe it'll be a storm of old age and your hair gets grayer and your skin gets saggier and your joints get creakier. I don't know what storms you're going to have to face, but I do know from experience and from God's word that the sun's not always going to be shining. It just won't be. Wind and rain will come. And houses with no foundation, they ultimately come crashing down. And you know, even if you are incredibly lucky, use that word carefully, even if you're incredibly lucky or incredibly blessed, and you get through life completely unscathed, your life could be absolutely peachy. The storm of death is still at the end, isn't it? You can't escape that one. And it doesn't matter how impressive the life you have built is, it's not going to count for anything when the storm of death comes. You'll spend an eternity without God. And it's sad, isn't it? Our world is filled with people like this guy, like this foolish builder. They're only thinking about here and now. They're going, the sun's shining. It's beautiful. I'm just throwing this thing up that I call my life. And I'm going to make it as wonderful as I can. Who cares about the foundation? I don't need that. The sun is shining. You know, another issue here with the foolish man, I think, is not just that he's lacking foresight. It's also that he's got misplaced confidence. At the risk of simplifying things, perhaps the whole Titanic incident, tragedy, happened for exactly the same reason. Misplaced confidence. This ship, it's the greatest ship ever. Even God couldn't sink it. That is misplaced confidence. We only need a handful of lifeboats because we're not going to need them anyway. That's misplaced confidence. The captain being blasé about the ice field approaching. Going to bed anyway. Misplaced confidence. It played a huge part in the sinking of the Titanic. The boat we've built is completely unsinkable. And the result, a lot of people lost their lives, didn't they? And in Jesus' parable, that the foolish man, his house falls down for the same reason. He's got misplaced confidence. The house I've built is fine. The walls are solid. The roof is solid. I've made it well. It's all tied together. But he didn't have a foundation. Everything was resting on the sand. And it makes us ask, what am I really trusting in? What's my confidence really in? Is it in my health? Is it in my relationships? Is it in my bank balance? Jesus is telling us, he's telling you, he's telling me, if your confidence is anything apart from God, that is sorely misplaced confidence. One day, everything will come crashing down. I can't afford to put my confidence in the wrong spot. You can't afford to put your confidence in the wrong spot. Your health isn't going to be enough. Your friends won't be enough. Your bank balance won't be enough. Your nice home won't be enough. None of these things are going to help when the storm comes. Jesus says, listen to my words, do my words, then your life will be anchored on something solid. So what do we make of all this? It's a very simple parable, very simple point. What do we do with it all? Well, look at the crowd's response firstly in verses 28 and 29. It says, and when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. So the people have been sitting there for a long time. They've heard this preaching, this teaching. It's ended with Jesus saying, okay, what are you going to do with everything I've told you? Are you going to listen and obey? Or are you going to listen and ignore? And they think, he has authority. He speaks with clarity, with conviction. This is so unlike anything we've heard. We've been going to church all our life, but no one's told us this before. And their minds are just filled with what Jesus has been saying. And they would have left going, which builder am I? And I think this is why Jesus ended here. He wanted them to walk away at which builder am I? The wise one or the foolish one? Is my life built on something solid or is it going to be blown away when the storm comes along? They would have walked home with that question in their mind. And we're just about done here and we're going to scatter. And I want all of us walking home thinking, which builder am I? Am I the wise builder here, building my life on the rock, or am I the foolish builder, building my life on the sand? That's what Jesus wants us to do with this. He wants us to ask, which builder am I? But no matter which foundation you have been building on, the great news of the gospel is it's not too late to relay that foundation. Just because your life is on sand right now, your hope is in all the wrong things right now, doesn't have to stay that way. You can start rebuilding on the rock today. And you do that by sincerely praying to God and saying, Lord, I've been building on the wrong foundation. I've been hoping in myself, trusting in myself, living for myself. You confess all of that to God. And you say, I'm sorry for ignoring you. Please forgive me. And then you start trusting in Jesus as your Savior. You start trusting in Him as your Lord, living for Him. You build your whole life on Him and around Him and for Him. It's not too late to build on that right foundation. It's not about what you can do. It's about trusting what Jesus has done for you. So don't go home today thinking, yeah, my life is on the sand. That's not good. Go home thinking, I'm going to relay that foundation by repenting of my sin and trusting in Jesus. You know, even if you're a Christian and you've heard this parable or sung this parable a thousand times before, don't go home thinking, I'm good, I'm on the rock. Just am I really hearing and then obeying? Or have I got so used to hearing, so used to being a Christian that I don't even give much thought to obeying anymore? So it doesn't matter how good the ship looks on the outside, does it, if it ends up sinking? It doesn't matter how good the building looks if it ends up collapsing. We've got to build our life on the rock. We're going to start doing that today. How about we pray? Father God, thank you so much for this really simple parable that is just so important. Lord, please help each one of us to really go home thinking, how am I building my life? Is it on the right foundation? Lord, I pray for those of us here who are Christians and we have been building our life on the rock for a long time. Please help us to just stop and rethink and make sure that we haven't got so used to hearing your word that it doesn't change us the way that it should anymore. Please forgive us for that. Please help us to strive to remedy that. Lord, if there are any here who aren't Christians, whose life is built on sand, may they see that no matter how impressive their life is, maybe they've got a great job, a great spouse, maybe they're really happy, but help them to see that no matter how great their life is, it's all on shifting sand. And ultimately, when the storms come, it's going to crumble. Please help them to repent of their sin, trust in Jesus, and build their life on the rock. So Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is rock solid. May we love it and live it and talk about it over morning tea as well. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.